Welcome to the realm of heroes and monsters. Storytime with your host, A.P. Fuchs. Stories of intrigue, stories of horror, stories of superheroics, stories of monsters. Get ready, the thrill ride begins.
18, that's right, we're 18, and in Canada law, that means you're an adult. So this episode is You're an Adult in Canada, because it's episode 18. So welcome to the realm of heroes and monsters, story time, with me, your host, Scruffy Face Bigfoot AP Fuchs, and here we are, in quasi-yellow lighting and all that stuff, if you're watching this on YouTube, because it's early in the AM as I'm recording this, and the sun has not yet come out, because daylight saving time's occurred, and everything's still kind of goofy in terms of what we think the time is versus me, what the universe thinks the time is. Even though if you actually look into the history of time and study it, we actually don't know what it is. You know, we have theories and ideas and concepts and formulas and all the rest. But in terms of like, this is time in stone, no, that doesn't exist. So anyone who tells you that is lying, okay? We don't understand at all how this whole thing works. Anyway, but the good part is, this podcast functions on a clock that you can understand. And so that's the time we'll be sticking to. And these episodes this season have been running approximately 10 to 15 minutes, depending on the length of the story. So there's a shorter episode season, like season one. But regardless, we have time to work with, and we are understanding the clock that we're looking at as we listen to this podcast. But yeah, look into time. It's very interesting. I mean, it's a fascinating subject. But the fact that we don't understand time basically explains perfectly well why we can't time travel, because you can't control that which you don't know, right? The only way to do it is you have to figure it out first, and then you can figure out how to manipulate it. So we're kind of ways off from really longing that down. And yes, you're going to get scientific theories on how time travel is possible, and this is why, and these are the conditions required, etc., etc. But again, it's based on a lot of flimsy stuff regarding how time operates, because again, I did the research and we don't know. So, I mean, that's a simple answer. We don't know. We know stuff, but we don't know all of it. Anyway, enough of that crap. Let's get on to the show, because story before the story is an important one, and we're going to talk about secrets. Here we are again, ladies and gentlemen, to story before the story. And we're going to talk about secret stories, because remember, this whole season is about how stories make up everyday life. And now, secret stories. Let's define that, okay? Secret stories, in this context, is not referring to stories that, say, you have, whether fictitious or non-fictitious, that you're not telling anybody, okay? It's not about that. It's not about your secrets. Secret stories are this. There are many, 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 many places in the world, obviously, where people are not. Right? We have our cities, we have our towns, we have our villages, we have the occasional hermit in the woods, that kind of stuff. But there's a vast amount of land and water, etc., out there where there's nobody. There might be some animals, could be some insects, maybe some birds, maybe some fish, whatever. But the point is, there's no humans. But events are happening in these environments. Things are going down. Animals are getting hunted down, perhaps. You know, plants are dying. Plants that may be the only one or two left of its kind are going to go off in extinction, and we would never know about it. You know, the same could apply to an animal. All the rest, right? So there's all these events happening. Like, what's happening in a forest right now, 2 miles in, and there's a bear walking around. What's he doing? I don't know. But he knows, and he's living out his story of his life unbeknownst to us. Right? So that's what I'm talking about. Secret stories. And your mind can go crazy with this stuff. No, I mean crazy in a good way. I mean, like, pick any location on earth. You could pick a rainforest. You could pick a standard forest. You could pick the ocean. You could pick a random island in the middle of nowhere. You know, like that kind of stuff. And just think, what is happening there, story-wise, that no one is witnessing? And it's a really fun exercise for the imagination. And it's also good just, you know, if you are a creator, because then it could be a potential springboard for some story fodder. But the point is, yeah, there's these secret stories happening around the world that we just don't know about. And we'll never know about. And it'll never hit the history books. And even if you want to take it a step further, okay, in terms of the human side, there are little pockets of people here and there that, you know, like the cliched tribe in the middle of nowhere, for example. you know, that kind of stuff. Stories are happening and no one knows. History is happening and the world at large, no one knows. And these are all these secret things that are happening, and it's really cool. And I really wish there was a way that we could find out these secrets. But if you find out the secrets, then it's not a secret, right? So I don't know, right? It's one of those, you know, is it good to know? Is it good not to know? That kind of decision making. But anyway, let your head wander. Think about the secret stories that are occurring right now on Earth. And then if you really want to go the distance, get off the planet and think about what's happening on the moon right now. Can't say nothing, because there is stuff happening. There's always stuff happening. Say Mars. Let's pick Venus. Let's pick Jupiter. Let's pick something, a class M planet in a different galaxy. What's going on? What's happening over there? What stories are being played out? You know, you go on and on about looking for life on other planets. I mean, like, really, and it actually feeds the story to come to a degree. And that's, like, you know, we're defining life as, like, humanoid intelligent life, right? Or even just intelligent life in general. But what is intelligent life? Because as far as other life out there, we could be the stupid ones. We could be the bacteria, right? And they're going to be thinking of us as nothing. So we could be looking in the wrong places or looking for the wrong thing in that regard as well. But anyway, the point is, secret stories, think about what's happening that you're not witnessing and let your mind run with that. Now, let's get into story time because, well, just listen, there is a secret there. And of course, we'll see you after the credits. Hollow Rider. Blake sat there in front of his machine, the story going nowhere. He thought the typewriter would do the trick, actually seeing the ink stamped on paper, a visual and progressive motivation to keep things chugging along. But nothing. A few measly words, each sentence starting with the word fuck. The office around him is old, musty, with dust-covered papers and manuscripts and scraps of ideas covering the floor. Blake thought it was a hardwood under the pages, but he couldn't remember for sure since it's been so long since he last saw it. He got up from his desk and lit a cigarette. Old world tobacco. He approached the window and leaned against it with one arm, the other making sure regular drags were taken off the old smoke. He gazed out onto Old Town Winnipeg, 1923. Rachel came up behind him and wrapped her silky arms around his chest. He hadn't heard her enter. She was like that, quiet, sly, but brilliant as well. He enjoyed the warmth of her touch through his button-down shirt. Trouble? She asked. Blocked, he said. I thought you didn't believe in writer's block. I didn't, and don't. But this one's tricky. What's it about? Saying goodbye to an old flame. He turned within her arms, faced her. She wrapped her arms around the back of his neck. Anyone I know? She asked. Yeah, personally. Oh, who? Blake ran his hands down the length of her arms and kissed her deeply, her rich red lipstick coating his lips and tongue. He stroked his fingers through her long, thick, blonde hair and said, you. She arched an eyebrow. Me? Yes, you. I can't keep coming here to work. I have other duties, ones you wouldn't understand. Her eyes searched his. You're married, aren't you? Yes. Well, in a way, to a lovely lady, but not the kind you think. To his surprise, she didn't let go or throw out a tantrum. Nothing. Instead, she pressed her palms to either side of his head and kissed him good and hard. Remember me, she said. That's all I'll ask. He gave her a small grin. I will. Then, what's her name? Before he could answer, Rachel slapped him, spun on her heels, and headed towards the door. He furrowed his brow, then called out after her, Avalon. Rachel stopped for a moment, then kept going. She had become too real for him. They had become too real. And he had become in here to this typewriter not to write, but to see her. I'm sorry, he said, the apology meant for both of them. Blake eyed the glowing red cherry of his cigarette. Truly, it's for our own good. Just as Rachel slammed the door, he tossed the lit smoke onto a pile of paper. Soon the pages went up in flame. It spread quickly, and the office was engulfed in fire and smoke. Blake stood amongst the flames, the hollow room's safety features ensuring he wouldn't get burned. He could barely even feel the inferno, at least the one outside his body. Inside, he was alit with passion for Rachel, his heart all hers. "Fuck," he said again. Then, "Avalon, end program." The fiery office faded away, and he stood in the glowing, blue-walled hollow room. Captain Blake Pierce exited, then took a step back and lingered at the door where Rachel once stood. Oh, how he loved her. But he loved the Avalon more, and his romance with his ship would always overrule any with a holographic girl. The siren sounded. Someone had triggered the red alert. He'd be needed on the bridge. Blake looked back at the hollow room once more and envisioned the burning office in his mind's eye. No more time for hobbies and stories. No more time for love. He headed to the bridge and wondered if the pain in his heart was worse than whatever alien threat summoned his presence. There was only one way to find out. He got on the yellow lift. Fuck. Thanks for sticking around till after the credits. As always, I like doing this segment. It's fun. It's sort of an extra thing. It's also a challenge, to be fair with you, because I don't know what to do here. I don't plan this out. This is more of a sporadic, spur of the moment. What do you want to talk about after the credits, right? And of course, I have to make sure I don't repeat myself from previous episodes. But for this episode, it's going to be a quasi-repeat because I'm just going to kindly ask for consideration on your part. And that is simply consider joining my Patreon page. Exclusive content, both visually, both through words, and also through video, that is just for Patreon, and that's it. So, $5 a month, cheap, you get a pile of content. There's so much there on the site right now. There's like three books, essays, blog posts, videos, and of course, the standard stuff that is released to the public as well, but there's a ton of private stuff there. So, and I have a project coming up later this year that's going to be Patreon exclusive, and I will give one hint, and the one hint only, and that's a graphic novel. But until then, please join in, get caught up, and help this writer out, because things are going crazy in this planet, and I could use a few extra bucks, to be honest. Okay, anyway, thanks for tuning in to this episode. We'll see you next week, and again, back to Story Before the Story. Think about secrets. Take care.